If you've ever been to the Department of Justice building in Washington, D.C., then you know that it is like a temple. There are carvings in the walls above windows that say things like, "Where law ends, tyranny begins." Above the massive doors on this temple, it says, "The place of justice is a hallowed place." Hallowed, sanctified, consecrated, venerated, sacrosanct. Hallow is defined as to make holy, to set apart for holy or religious use, to consecrate, to treat or keep as sacred, to reverence. Some very high language being employed. So it's incredibly hypocritical to an almost asinine level for people whose agency is housed in this building to blatantly ignore the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Supreme Court's rulings, and to play legal semantics games to bureaucratically abuse the law to ignore Americans' inherent rights to due process to try and steal their money for the government. So I just want to make this video really quickly, because if you've been paying attention at all in the last week or two, you've seen how many stories are coming out of the billions of dollars that our government has spent on things that the average person in this country who pays taxes would never in a bajillion years support.
Because if you look at the waste and abuse that has run through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on.
USAID gave money to a transgender clinic in India.
$6 million to fund tourism in Egypt, $20 million on a new Sesame Street show in Iraq,
$70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland,
$4.5 million to combat disinformation in Kazakhstan,
$122 million of that to groups aligned with foreign terrorist organizations,
$47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia,
$2 million for sex changes in Guatemala,
$32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap.
Ever. Not ever. And it's not our representatives that are doing this. It's unelected bureaucrats, thousands upon thousands of people that no one ever voted for, making these kinds of decisions.
To include $168,000 contract for an Anthony Fauci exhibit at the National Institute of Health Museum.
And I've actually seen the phrase, "no taxation without representation," making a comeback, and rightfully so. I think it's way past time we had these conversations, because the stuff that's coming out is freaking insane. But I thought everyone should see this so that you can understand, as an American, the level that we are at, because I don't think a lot of people do. But here it is in black and white. This was in Reason a little over a week ago. The government says money isn't property, so it can take yours. Yay! In a jaw-dropping argument, the Department of Justice claims seizing $50,000 from a small business doesn't violate property rights because money isn't property. And I'm just going to read this article. It says, as a lawyer who sues the government, you get used to the different kinds of arguments that government lawyers use to justify abuses of individual rights. Sweeping claims of government power, bad faith, procedural obstacles, and more. This was a new one. The DOJ argued that confiscating $50,000 from a small business did not infringe on the business's right to private property because money is not property. Quote, money is not necessarily property for constitutional purposes, the government's brief declared. This is a legal brief, okay? Putting the very idea of property in square quotes, reading at my desk, I practically fell out of my chair. The DOJ gave three rationales for the argument, all packed into a doorstopper of a footnote, and listen to the first two. Number one, the government creates money, so you can't own it. Because the government created it, you cannot own it. That's the first argument.
What can money be used for? What is money anyway? Not yours, bro. According to the Justice Department's lawyers, money is not necessarily property for constitutional purposes. And because the government creates money, you can't own it.
That's the very this is the first argument they're making. Number two, the government can tax your money so you don't own it. So the power to tax you means you don't own it.
Also, the government can tax your money so you don't own it.
And number three, the Constitution allows government to spend money for the general welfare. That I don't even understand how the third one comes into this at all. Like, what does that have to do with ownership of money that someone earned because they have a business and they made $50,000? Like, what does the Constitution allowing the government to spend money for general welfare have to do with taking somebody's personal money? I don't even understand why that's thrown in. It just feels chucked on. Like, maybe it almost feels like this lawyer wrote this the same way maybe, say, like an elementary school kid writes some homework at the last minute that they didn't even read the chapter, and they just like turn it in just to have something in the hopes that the teacher grading it will only read the first few lines or something. I don't know, because this doesn't feel real. It says, if a libertarian was asked to write a satire of a government lawyer's brief, this is what they might come up with. But here it was in black and white. Whose money specifically was the government saying wasn't property? That of Chuck Sain, the owner of CS Lawn and Landscaping, a small landscaping business outside of Annapolis, which has been in operation for 40 years. Sain became a client of the Institute for Justice, which is a public interest law firm, when the federal government sought to impose over $50,000 in liability on his business through a trial, quote-unquote, derisive air quotes, trial, held deep inside the bowels of a federal administrative agency. At said trial, both the prosecutor and the judge were employed by the same federal agency. So that's not really a trial, just by the way. That's not a fair and impartial trial if both the prosecutor and judge are employed by the same federal agency. That's called a snow job.
Members of the jury are dismissed.
So the Institute for Justice sued on Sain's behalf, arguing that before the government can impose that kind of liability, it has to provide a real trial before a real judge and jury. The specifics of what the government claims Sain did wrong, in short, arcane labor law, are beside the point. And at this point, I would argue, yeah, that's beside the point, because here we are at this moment. If the government wants to confiscate $50,000 from your business, you must have the chance to argue your defense to an impartial judge and jury, not an agency bureaucrat. And that should be basic. You know, the Bill of Rights was ratified in 1791. It's been around for over 230 years. And it should be basic that is just known. Now the DOJ is arguing Sain has no right to a real judge and jury because the government was only trying to take his money, not his property, which they have now tried to legally argue one is not the other. They claimed that fiat currency is a legal fiction.
The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
And that the government can easily destroy as create it.
Because apparently, fiat currency is a legal fiction that the government can as easily destroy as create.
Well, that's actually true.
Ain't that a bitch?
Lest anyone miss the implicit connection to the history of the gold standard, DOJ's footnote prominently cited the legal tender cases where the Supreme Court upheld laws forcing people to accept paper currency rather than gold and silver as a payment for debts. This was an argument for taking Sain's $50,000 without a trial before a real judge and jury.
With due regard to his honor.
But the same argument could be used to justify all manner of mischief. If your money's not your property, what's to stop the government from just seizing all of it tomorrow for any reason it gives? Because yes, when taken out to its logical conclusion, that is where you end up. This doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make sense as an argument. He says, let me reassure you the DOJ's argument is wrong. The Due Process Clause applies to life, liberty, and property, and the Supreme Court has repeatedly applied that clause to money. It follows that since money is neither life nor liberty, it must be property. To be sure, DOJ's arguments have a force. As a philosophical critique of government taxation in the money in the monetary system, they may also highlight legitimate reasons to hold part of your wealth in gold or for some cryptocurrency. But for constitutional purposes, to borrow a phrase from the DOJ, the arguments are a flop. It's not just a bad argument for the people's side. It's a bad argument for the government to be arguing either, because if fiat currency is a legal fiction and the government can just destroy and create it, which is actually true, but if they're going to use that as a legal basis for just taking everybody's money whenever they feel like it, then why are they taking it at all?
That smells like bullshit.
Right? Why even take it? If they don't even care about it and they can just create as much as they want, why are they taking anybody's money? See? See? And then you start going down that road and you start saying, yeah, why did you set up an agency with thousands upon thousands of pages of code? It's all about taking it. If taking it is not, there's no point in taking it because it's basically just a fiction, doesn't count as property. You don't have to go down that road very far to see how the entire thing starts to fall apart on itself fast. I don't know that they want people thinking too hard about these concepts, but it's too late for that. They already put this into a legal brief, so.
Two things occur to me on hearing a summary of this story, the things that the government lawyer admitted in court. I mean, number one, does this negate the ability to prosecute people who steal and thieve? Because they put people in jail all the time for that. It's one of the most basic crimes we have in our society. And two, if the government has argued that they can steal money because they create it, are they just flat out admitting that they've created a tool of enslavement through money? Are they just flat out admitting that money is a tool of enslavement?
Ain't that a bitch?
As some of us have surmised, albeit slowly, this is astounding. It doesn't stand on its face logically, unless those are the conclusions, that we are slaves of the government and money's the tool of enslavement, and that anyone can steal without consequence. So,
ain't that a bitch?
A federal court will soon decide whether to uphold Sane's right to a trial before an impartial judge and jury, and hopefully the court will agree that money is property and an agency bureaucrat is not an impartial judge. Because if they don't, and they agree to all of this stuff, then what they're basically admitting is we have no taxation without representation. Our monetary system is basically just government-imposed financial slavery. And the whole system will implode on this argument if they freaking try to make it and uphold it. The entire system, not just private property, property ownership rights, but also due process, some of the most fundamental inherent rights that we as Americans have, will all be destroyed if this gets upheld, essentially. I can't believe that this is the level that they're actually trying to argue this. But the fact that they are, and the reason I wanted to show it to you, is that's the level we're actually at. We're actually at this level. So this is what they're trying to say. They're trying to make legal cases for us going back to purely bureaucratic trials. So they're really just show trials. They're not trials at all, because it's not an impartial judge and jury. It's really not based on what anyone would consider the rule of law. And they're basically just trying to justify theft, really. By saying, well, we created it so we can take it from you. So, I mean, there's no standard there. I mean, they could just, if they can say it here, they can say it anywhere, pretty much. I mean, and I don't think this is going to be upheld either. I agree with the lawyer writing here for reason. But it's the point that that's the level the government is at trying to make. I mean, they're destroying themselves. They're destroying themselves. Do you know how many people I have seen in just the last week? Talking about 1776, talking about tax revolts, talking about no taxation without representation. I can't even count to you the number of posts I've seen of people who are saying, I don't see how it's okay for us to have to pay. When none of this has been accountable for so long, people want refunds. They want refunds for decades. They're angry. People are angry. People are putting up signs in the streets. People are making videos about how pissed off they are.
I would like all of the income taxes that I've paid since I've been alive and working to be returned to me ASAP.
And now you have this level here. It's like these people have forgotten where government authority comes from. It comes from the people. If the people legitimize you as an authority, that's where you get your power from. Otherwise, you are not, if you're not legitimized by the people, then you can't authorize yourself. I mean, that's the founding documents of this country. Please go read them. Go read the Declaration of Independence, where it explicitly states exactly what government is and where government powers are derived from. Go read that again. Like, it's very, very clear that this is not how it works. So we're in a pretty serious situation right now, because this is the level that we're at. And these kinds of arguments are so egregious. They're so outlandish. They're so above and beyond what anyone should consider just. This is the Department of Justice making this argument. They have justice in the name. And this couldn't be further from justice if you tried. That's the level. That's the level. So something has to change, because when you start going down this level of the fall of Rome type of stuff going on, like, your whole country could be destroyed under stuff like this going on. You're stomping on the basic framework of why you're even in that department, why you even can walk around claiming to be Department of Justice. Like, you're destroying yourself. You're destroying yourself with this argument. You know, you are undoing all of the legitimacy that your authority is based on with this. And it never ends well. History lesson after history lesson will show you that this kind of egregious overstep here, that's just so absolutely jump the shark, cartoon level, clown car, cartoonish circus. Like, when you start going that way, when you're Caligula hanging out with your horse, like, you've gone too far. Okay? You've gone too far. And that's what this is. This is the same level of insanity here. It's just, there's not much beyond here. They start doing things like this, other than really bad ends. So I just thought everyone should see this. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that someone actually sat down and wrote this out. And you could say, oh, they're just kicking the can down the road. They know it's not going to be upheld by the court. But the fact that they want to try to argue that and have it be taken all the way up the chain to a federal court to actually have to sit here and adjudicate this, the fact that they're even trying to take it to that level when they should know on its face is ridiculous, but they're going to do it anyway. I mean, that should tell you something about the level we're at. I mean, I've seen lawyers argue a lot of stupid shit over the years, but this is the fact that we're to this level, okay? Because they wouldn't have done this 50 years ago. They wouldn't even have tried it. They wouldn't even have attempted it. If for any other reason than their own self-respect. But we don't have that kind of level anymore. We're just in the David Lynchian nightmare basement of government at this point, okay? That is where we are. And I really hope people start to realize it and wake up, because this doesn't have a chance of going well if they don't. People need to start realizing, like, where does the legitimacy come from that gives authority for the government? The government does not legitimize itself, and this is clearly why, okay? The fact that this is even being argued is a problem. It's a real problem. I don't even know what else to say.
I would like to solve the puzzle.
Thank you.